is Ben. I will be representing the right side of the political spectrum.
My name is Henry. I'm on the left.
My name is Fedor, and I would say I'm a moderate.
Okay, so Fedor, do you want to introduce our topic for today?
Yes. Today we are talking about immigration and America's stance towards it. I want to ask you two a question, and that is basically, what should we do about immigration? What should be our standpoint towards it, and how should we approach it?
You want to take that one first?
No, you can go first. It's okay.
Okay. Well, that is a loaded question.
That is a loaded question.
Very loaded question.
It's a very loaded question. We didn't get these questions ahead of time, so I'm just thinking this on the spot. Okay, so I think we should approach immigration more as a, you know, bringing in people to our country that will bring the best and most diverse people that we can bring to our country, rather than just acting as a de facto charity.
Could you define best?
I think people that that know how to speak English is obviously a plus. People that are skilled in certain industries that we are lacking in, certain skilled laborers, you know, stuff like that. I think that representing different parts of the world are also really important. We shouldn't prioritize people coming from Central and Latin America over people coming from Africa. I think that we should also take into account how long people have been waiting, because there are people that wait like 20 years to get to our country. I also don't think that we should just let, you know, if one person gets into a country, okay, obviously they can bring their family, but they can't bring like their grandma's cousin's, like, I don't know, like their grandma's cousin's grandson twice removed, which does happen in some cases due to what is it, like chain migration, I think is a technical term. And, I I'm not necessarily opposed to certain forms of chain migration, but I think there needs to be a certain level of, you know, there's got to be a certain point where we cut it off, because we can't just let anybody come in.
Yeah, so you're generally for it, but you're aware.
Oh yeah,
of the,
I love immigration. Yeah, yeah. I think no,
I
honestly,
love immigrants.
No, my family were immigrants. Yeah, my family came here from Iran. They came here legally. They were escaping the revolution. That's what they did, and they came here and they contributed in a lot of ways, and they learned a lot from American culture too, which is another thing. People think that, you know, this is like a really like racist thing that a lot of people say, but it's important to at least adopt some of American culture when you come here, because there's obviously,
I agree with you on
a
that.
Reason why people are coming here. I mean, it's not necessarily like full assimilation, and people take assimilation to mean, oh, you have to conform to the white, whatever, like the situation in America that certain people paint. But assimilation is more about, you know, reflecting our values, are, you know, valuing free speech, valuing really important things that a lot of other countries don't. Like, there are tons of countries, especially in Latin America and Africa and Asia, that don't value free speech. They just don't. And there are a lot of people that value the community over the individual, which is also fine. My family, we have a lot of that sort of sense of tradition there. But it's also important to recognize that, you know, valuing the individual isn't always a bad thing. I think it's what makes America special in a lot of ways. And so I think that immigrants especially, we need to make sure that they get on board in a sense.
I agree with you to some extent. I'll talk about that in a bit. But to answer your question, Fedor, I think the primary way to deal with immigration is to stop financing the immigrant crisis. What a lot of people don't understand is that, and I believe, is we're indirectly the source of the crisis in the first place. Hasan Minhaj, he's a comedian. He runs a show called The Patriot Act, and he had one episode where he talked about the NRA and their global influence, where essentially a majority of the guns that are getting into South America and Latin America are coming from the United States. So in essence, we are kind of financing this organized crime that is displacing people and causing them to come to our borders. Additionally, we buy lots and lots and lots of illegal drugs that are manufactured in Mexico and other countries for that matter. And that encourages cartel behavior.
Did you say legal or illegal?
Illegal drugs.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, we're buying them. We're their main market.
Yes.
And that is fine. That is encouraging cartels, and that is displacing people, and that's why these people come to our border.
Yeah, I think the drug war has had a...
Exactly.
It has had adverse effects.
Yeah,
I agree with you. And so to kind of agree with you, I think America is, in a sense, the reason why America has such like a great and diverse culture is because in essence we're like kind of a melting pot of all these different cultures and people. You go, for example, here in LA, we have like a vibrant Latino community. We have lots of influence. Many, like a lot of the cuisine is kind of that manifests itself in the cuisine, the television shows, for example. And you go to to New York, for example, you have a vibrant Italian scene. You go to Florida, a vibrant Cuban scene. Louisiana, you have like a lot of Creole food and Creole dishes. So I think that we need to, rather than kind of turn away from what has made us what we are today, we need to kind of embrace it,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think the first step to doing that is making sure that this does not become essentially we're scapegoating immigrants for a problem that we create. Mm-hmm. We're scapegoating them for problems in our economy that they have nothing to do with.
Yeah.
So I think
which problems?
Well, for example, like people say, oh yeah, they take our jobs. Like, yeah. That is just not true, right?
Okay, I have a question though. One question. So yes. Do you think the low end of the estimates of illegal immigrants in this country especially are like 11 million, something like that? 11.5 yeah. like million?
Yeah, so conservative estimate.
That's a more on the low end, and then some of the higher ones are more like 20, 25 million. Do you think, let's go with the low estimate. Let's go with 11.5. Yeah. Do you think that 11.5 million people coming into our country does not have an effect on the job market, especially if they can work at wages lower than minimum wage?
Well, first of all, for example, I'll give you just one example. My mom owns a landscape designing company, and she hires a lot of immigrants, but she never hires illegal immigrants because there's a score of liability concerns associated with that. All right, the reason why we're losing jobs is because of bad trade policy and automation, and has nothing to do with immigrants. All right.
Well, we're not losing jobs. We had virtually no unemployment right now.
That has nothing to do with the actual job loss we're experiencing. You can look it up. Like,
well, I think industries are changing. I agree with you that certain industries are losing jobs, but other industries are, you know, the job market in for tech companies is increasing at an exponential rate right now.
But the thing is, it's about shifting industries. Skilled labor, and a lot of those tech companies are hiring young individuals who went to college.
Yeah,
a lot of these
true.
People, a lot of the manufacturing jobs that are getting displaced are people who didn't go to college, right? And even when the government knew this was going to happen, right? The U.S. knew this was going to happen, especially when we implemented certain trade policies in mid-1900s. So we tried to create job retraining programs. Those were underfunded, poorly implemented, failed greatly. But I'm saying that a lot of the discontent among the people who are displaced in labor, the labor market, is directed towards these immigrants, even though they have nothing to do with it. They have nothing to do with the displacement of them losing their jobs. They have nothing to do with their economic woes. These illegal immigrants aren't soaking up part of our social state. Like, they aren't soaking up government resources.
We do spend about $145 billion a year on services related to illegal immigrants, whether it's them, you know, I do have to acknowledge, obviously, that there are certain illegal immigrants that do pay taxes, and there are illegal immigrants that don't take, you know, because there's all of these different things. But to say that they don't have any effect on the job market, or to say that they don't have any effect on, you know, the allocation of Social Security or welfare and stuff like that I think that there's not that much evidence to support it. I mean, you could point at certain figures and say, you know, this and that, but we spend about, what did I say, like $145 billion a year that illegal immigrants cost the U.S. government.
Think about how much they contribute to the economy as well. You know, the benefit, the dollar value of them, of their contributions to the economy.
I agree with
for
you.
For example, even in California, they definitely exceed it. And
well,
especially in California, where a lot of immigrants are pretty much.
Okay, so then I ask you this. Do you think an illegal immigrant does the job better than a legal immigrant would?
I don't think that's like I don't think that's the problem.
Okay, but do you think because I don't think that deporting what 11.5 going with the conservative estimate 11.5 million people is feasible by any sense of the imagination.
No, and,
I think
knowing our government, they'll mess it up.
That is, it seems like that. I mean, to me, these people have come across the border illegally for a number of different reasons, but they have come across the border illegally nonetheless.
Yes.
So it seems like it's a little bit unfair that they just get to cross the border, whereas people in Africa, mentioning earlier, people in Africa don't have that luxury. Those people have to wait 10 years, 15 years.
Or they're just, they're way too poor even to like consider that option.
Exactly. To even come across, you know, like it's difficult. That's part of my problem with illegal immigration is that it's just not fair.
We can't take in everyone.
And then also we just don't know who's coming in. Like we have no idea.
A lot of the time too, like people say like, oh yeah, these immigrants are violent. They're like rapists. They're murderers. Like all this stuff.
Well, some of them are.
Some of them are. MS-13 is not
like a myth.
I'd say a vast majority of them are escaping that very thing that we are labeling them as. I think also like...
Well, I mean, I think most of them are just seeking economic opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's a great goal to...
I think another thing is we need to stop being so apathetic towards these people and kind of put ourselves in their shoes. I'm not saying that illegal immigration is necessarily a good thing. It's a crime. However, I think that, like, if you're in a situation, right, where you live in, like, a favela in Brazil or a place with heavy violence and you get threatened by someone from a cartel, I mean, I'm dipping. I'm getting out of there as fast as I can.
That's fair.
Especially when you have literally the most prosperous country in the history of the world just a couple hundred miles north. I mean,
But there are countries all over the world like that. Like right now, for example, like there are countries all over in Africa, in the Middle East, all these different places, and those people don't have the luxury. So why should we?
Well, no, they do. They can go to Europe.
Yeah, that's exactly
they
what
go across over boats.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, so is that
refugee
fair?
Crisis.
Do you think that's fair? Do you think it's fair for people in Algeria?
It's an immutable circumstance that is created due
that
to
is
their
not true.
Geographic location.
I don't think so. I think that let's say Asia. Fine. If everybody in Africa and I was thinking more like Southern Africa, like places near near South Africa. But okay, let's throw out Africa and the Middle East for a second because we'll say that they go to Europe. Asian countries like Taiwan, countries like
Taiwan's wealthy.
No, I know Taiwan is wealthy, but there. Listen, okay, let's say Philippines even Philippines.
Mm-hmm.
Philippines are a great example because there are tons of Filipino immigrants that come to Los Angeles, and a lot of them come legally. I would actually say most of them come legally because it's very difficult to get to Los Angeles if you're not coming legally. But okay, so do you think that it's fair to let those Filipino immigrants wait 10 years in line and then allow them to come here legally and then not punish the people that just cross our border without going through any of the necessary steps in the process? Because we're not – right now we take like what? Something like – we take a huge portion of our immigrants from Latin American countries, especially Mexico, and a part of that is due to illegal immigration because, you know, there's a lot of illegal immigration that occurs on our southern border. But that's not like a diversity. That's not a diversity of immigration. That's not turning America into a melting pot. That's turning America into Mexico by proportion, which you know, I think that there needs to be definitely more of a percentage of African immigrants that are coming more. And it's, you know, it just seems to me that it's not fair that these people can just come across the border in California, especially will say, oh yeah, we'll give illegal immigrants free healthcare and free college and all this stuff.
I think you're describing a normative situation where in an ideal world, you would want more people to come from Africa and all around the world.
Well, they want to come. The problem is we can't take everybody.
The empirical, the fact is we have a crisis on our border, whether people want to admit it. We have a
which is why we need to shore it up.
What is the human rights issue? In the southern border? Well, there's just a mass flood of people that aren't being tended to, and they're seeking, well, not just asylum, but economic opportunity, and I mean, a lot of them could be violent.
Is it our prerogative to just let them into our country?
Well, it's definitely, I think it's more about, like, what do we do with them? Do we just turn them away?
I don't think we just turn, listen, it is a complicated issue, but we have processes in place to ensure that the people coming, number one, are safe so that we can vet the genuine immigrants who are trying to make a living from, you know, the small portion that are just coming to create more violence and bring, you know, drugs. Because 90% of heroin comes across our southern border. That's 90% comes across our southern border. And that's not something that people can control.
Okay.
Do you want to hear my theory, my immigration theory?
Henry's immigration theory.
Essentially,
this is a Breitbart theory.
No, politicians are essentially lobbying for organizations and politicians like the NRA are intentionally lobbying for policies like allowing us to send to sell more guns to South America so that they can intentionally create chaos, which sends migrants to our border, which they can use to exploit them. They can exploit them for political gain and scapegoat them to increase their popularity.
Well, yeah. Both sides.
I think that's why I said politicians and organizations.
I agree with you.
I think we should remain. We should get back to like.
That's the conspiracy.
I mean, it's definitely a theory, and I think we can consider it. But I don't think it's what's. I don't know. We should return to the reality of the situation, and I think the biggest thing concerning immigration in the last few years is obviously the wall proposal by Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And I think. I don't know. I wanted to ask, like, is that really an effective solution or a mere facade, a veneer for the underlying issue? Because it seems like most immigrants come legally, and obviously a lot come illegally. I think it's something like 60-40 or something, 70-30 visa overstay. Whereas, you know, obviously we still have a lot of them at the border. Like, is the wall really going to do? What if they just dig under it?
Just dig to China, man. Just dig to China.
Yeah, yeah. Like.
Well, really. I mean, okay. Here's the thing.
Is the wall a good idea? That's the question.
No. It's mm-hmm. First of all, the majority of immigrants are gonna come over on planes already, right?
No, 60% come through the southern border on foot.
I heard another statistic that said a majority of illegal immigrants come over through planes. All right, so
well, that's just that is difficult and it's a hard statistic to measure.
So okay. we just probably have conflicting.
Okay, let's even say it's 50-50.
However, the wall, first of all, it's a waste of taxpayer money, right? When we could be, you know, using that money to spend for the lackluster education that our kids have in public schools. We could use it to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure, get more people healthcare. But instead, we're building it on a wall, right? The wall is a political symbol, right? Mm-hmm. The wall, in my opinion, it's a terrible, terrible, terrible idea because it symbolizes, in a sense, it kind of symbolizes like... xenophobia, right? It symbolizes like nationalism. Like it's kind of like a dystopian like figure. Imagine like looking across the border and seeing just a giant 20-foot solid,
the wall just
5-foot
foot
thick concrete
bigger.
Wall.
I don't see it like that.
That blocks people off. Like it just seems like some dystopian thing, like some Hunger Games type, like the capital separated from District 12. Like I don't know. It has not only does it have like this.
That's very interesting.
Dystopian image, but it kind of emanates these ideas of frustration and hate that have got us to the point where we are today.
I don't think it's frustration and hate that's got us to the point where we are today. I think it's just looking at what the situation is right now. I don't hate illegal immigrants. I think they're acting in their own self-interest, as I would also. If I were in their situation, I'm just thinking, you know, from the perspective of America and the American people, there are many reasons why I think a wall would be good. And it walls have proven effective in the past in a number of different ways. To address the what you were saying about the money, what the appraisal was something like $14 billion to build a wall.
Oh, no,
$20 billion.
I know that.
And,
but
it's like less than 1% of our total budget. But, and on top of that, we spend, what did I say, like $145 billion on dealing with certain
illegal
things
immigration.
Related. Yeah, dealing with illegal immigration.
But contribute more to the economy, possibly.
Let me say this, though.
Well, we don't know. Here's the thing. I think illegal immigrants would be able to contribute the same, if not more, and it would be fairer. I think that, you know, the wall would work for a number of different reasons. One, let's even say it's 50-50. 50% of the people come over on land and 50% come on, you know, through the air. It seems like if we could stop 50% of illegal immigration flow, then I would be for it.
But
now,
if I'm an illegal immigrant and I see a giant wall, I'll just take a plane. Like, obviously
okay,
a lot of those illegal immigrants
don't have access to That's the thing.
Access to those
In order to take a plane to America, in order to, you know, you have to go through, first on the Mexico side, you have to go through a few different things to be able to get on a plane that says you're leaving the country and you're going to America. And then once you get to America, you have to go through customs, which you have to show either a visa or a travel something, or, you know, like that's the thing. It's much more difficult to come here illegally on a plane, which is why I don't think that it's 50-50. I think it's more like 60-40 or 70-30 of the number of people. And then on top of that, as I mentioned before, 90% of heroin and a number of different drugs come across the border. And, you know, a wall would definitely stop or at least curb that flow for obviously a number of different reasons. I do think that a wall, just a barrier of any kind, because there are huge stretches of land that's just flat land between the United States and Mexico, and what separates them are like wooden posts. I think that there, just having a barrier there would also give Border Patrol agents more time.
But
even if there's a ladder, Border Patrol agents more time to get to those places
but
and prevent those people. You know,
yeah,
I'm
Sharf,
look, there's a lot of controversy over the efficacy of the wall, but what I'm going to say is the walls is merely just a Band-Aid on a giant, giant, giant gash. Like, essentially,
I don't think it's
the wall is popular because it is a tangible thing, right? People will see
it
outlandish. Built. People will look at it being built, and that makes them feel like a sense of efficacy, right?
Yeah,
it is effective.
However, it's a cosmetic solution, right? There are much more. There are much more. There are much more.
Let's just say 50-50 illegal immigration split. It's still a Band-Aid on 50% of the blood coming out of your
exactly.
system.
Exactly. And
so wouldn't you spend less than wouldn't
no,
you
but
spend
look, but look, there
less than 1% of your total budget to prevent 50% of illegal immigration from coming in, which will on top of that allow us to better, you know, to figure out who should be coming in and allow us to develop a process where we can let these people in at a faster rate while vetting them better. Like,
many other decisions
like
that
what?
Would be there. I'm just saying, out of all the possible decisions that are laid out in front of us,
what are our possible options right now?
Look,
reforming our immigration system.
How would we reform our immigration? Because everybody says
can you let me speak right now?
Go ahead.
There are plenty of other solutions that, although not as cosmetically great and beautiful, like
this is not a cosmetic problem.
Why don't we invest in more resources and time and economically building up Mexico and helping it become a massive trading partner? Because not only does that have great benefits economically for us, but it also has great political benefits, geopolitically.
Yeah, it's a trickle-down option.
So here's the thing. So first of all, you were telling America
to
go...
trickle-up option.
Okay, listen. First of all, you were telling America to do something that it has barely successfully done throughout its entire history, which is go into another country and help it economically.
No, I say we give it aid.
Japan, at Germany, at Europe, Marshall Plan, at... Yeah, I mean,
are you
I'm
kidding
just saying,
me? In the after the Marshall
also,
Plan,
NAFTA.
When was
are you,
when,
are you remembering NAFTA?
NAFTA is a trade agreement, buddy.
Trade
it's
agreement.
Not aid.
Yeah.
And
it's,
when
I
we
mean,
give
it's
aid,
a form
when
of
we
aid
give
and...
aid to a country as corrupt as Mexico is right now, where do you think that money is going to go? It's not going to go to. And
yeah,
here's
it's
the
go down. It's
the government doesn't even have a control in Mexico. The government captured El Chapo's son, right?
Exactly.
Or somebody,
exactly.
And they gave him up.
Look,
they gave him up because the cartels run the country. The cart. That's the thing that people. Everybody says, "Oh,
let's
just."
Legalize all drugs and stop the drug war.
What are you talking about?
Also legalizing the drugs.
The last 15, listen, you say Marshall Plan, fine. What we did at the Marshall Plan was we gave money and we just gave stuff, like shoes and stuff to Europe. The thing is when we go into countries that aren't, you know, like us in terms of, you know, Western, civilized,
industrialized
in a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. Well, that's Western civilization.
They're barbarians.
That's the thing. They're not barbarians, but they just, you know, they don't have the infrastructure. No. They don't have the industry that we do.
Ben.
So if we go into those countries and say, okay, we're going to fix them. How has that worked
Japan,
in Asia?
Yeah, Japan's a shining
Japan.
Example.
Japan we helped them out, but they recreated their government. We gave them aid, but they knew they wanted to figure it out. The problem with Mexico is the government does not have the power to help the people.
I know,
out.
But exactly.
And that's a struggle that they have had.
Look,
but it's not, why does that fall on us? And on top of that, you were telling us to solve, you were saying that the solution to illegal immigration is giving more money to Mexico, correct?
I'm about to propose another solution.
Okay, propose another solution.
All right,
I would like to
know. So another huge solution that has worked with Portugal greatly, you legalize all drugs, right? Therefore, it works.
I like this.
It works.
Legalize heroin? You want to legalize heroin?
First of all, it would greatly ameliorate our disgusting opioid crisis.
How are we going to stop?
Because people don't have to turn to third party black market stuff,
yeah.
And they can go to a government shelter and receive small doses.
You regulate
and able to
it. You regulate, and guess what?
It's regulated. It's refined,
and you
also,
tax it. You
and
tax
and
it.
Not
the
only that,
government loves money.
And
so
not
you're
tax
so
the
you're
drugs.
And
not
hold
only
on,
that.
Hold on, wait.
And
hold on, wait. So you're telling me that your solution to illegal immigration is legalizing all drugs and having the government microdose?
Can I tell you? Can I tell you?
Yes.
Can I tell you something? Can I tell you
crazy?
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, what that does too. Is that diminishes completely the market for cartel manufactured drugs.
Okay, that's fair.
And therefore, where are the cartels going to sell their drugs? We're their number one market. We're the wealthiest country on this side of the globe.
I don't think legalizing heroin is going to get a lot of people on your side. Your side because I don't think heroin, 90, that's the
dude,
thing.
Look,
heroin is the big one.
You think
90%
you think,
of heroin.
You think,
heroin is one of the most. Do you understand
you
what
think,
you're proposing right
you
now?
Think, you
have
think,
you done heroin?
Look, have you? Okay,
do you know
so
what the situation
I
want
to. If I can quickly just
understand
how
many people's lives.
Portugal had a massive.
I want to say this, right?
Can I say one last thing?
Yes.
Okay, Portugal had a massive drug problem, right? They had drugs coming in from South America, from Latin America, and from Africa, right? Because they are on the Atlantic coast, right? They legalized all drugs, and they saw incredible results, right? All the drug-related violence, overdoses.
Do you think smoking is bad for you?
Yeah, smoking's terrible for you.
Smoking cigarettes?
Do you think that there should be a tax on cigarettes?
Did I ever say anything about a tax?
No. But do you think that there should be a tax on cigarettes?
Well,
are you for the government?
Smoking creates a negative externality, and therefore we need to.
Okay, so what about heroin? Do you think that heroin creates a negative externality just as smoking does?
Then we should tax it.
So then.
Yeah. Okay.
So then,
I want to challenge you on this. Okay. It's so interesting how you're.
We have
it
to
seems
wrap
like
up soon,
you're. Yeah. But you're kind of. You're more free market oriented. You want competition, but at the same time, you can't reconcile the fact that we have to open up a competition in this realm, in
no,
the drug realm.
I am not. That
we
is
have,
a social issue.
We have,
that has nothing to do with free market.
Okay,
I am not
social,
for legalizing heroin.
Okay, and the
I am
social
for
issue
legalizing
is
marijuana.
We're creating stigma. Around drugs, and we're not. It's like mental health.
There
but we're not talking about it. We're
drugs
it,
are not like mental health. There is a difference.
It's with an mental addiction. Health, what do you mean?
With mental health, with mental health, you are born with something, okay? You are born with something.
Okay.
All right,
what are you talking about?
Mental health, okay, it's a genetic factor, but okay, I think we're getting away
obviously
from it.
There's a genetic factor in mental health.
Yes, but it's also environmental.
There are certain environment. I agree with you. There are certain environmental aspects to it, and you know, especially bullying is a big one. And I agree that we should be attacking that stigma. And I think you know there are a lot of places where we are, and there are a lot of institutions that are helping out with that stuff. But you guys are proposing legalizing heroin.
Yes.
Do you understand?
So we can build. It's like sex education in the United States. You are ignoring the problem. Like,
you are ignoring it. Do you realize what you're saying?
Am I ignoring
the illegal immigration problem and the drug problem? And
in fact, I think it's actually a holistic positive feedback loop.
It solves both things at the same time and gives the government money.
It's actually a great solution. So do you think that it's good? Okay, so let's take this to the logical extreme. Heroin is legalized. It is available at Rite Aid. Do you think it's good?
No, it's not available to Rite Aid. It's available.
Okay, registered heroin dispensaries.
It would reduce overdoses because people don't have to resort to fentanyl, right? Disgusting other black market stuff, which is laced with God knows what, right? And
people so people overdose are getting on heroin.
People are
also.
Getting safer drugs. People are able to get it and do lower doses, so the government can slowly withdraw them from the. It's honestly a much more effective solution.
But here's the thing: if the government is weaning you off of heroin, it gets rid of domestic drug related violence as well because there doesn't need to be a black market anymore. Okay, so listen. So if you are telling people that you are going to legalize heroin and then wean them off of it, right? That's the idea.
Yeah.
That's what Portugal. Here's the thing: Portugal's end goal is to stop the drug addiction. Okay, to that end, they decided to legalize all drugs and then wean people off of it. What you are doing in this situation is
we got to wrap it up soon.
Okay, what you are doing is you are legalizing heroin and then allowing people to be weaned off of it. But that is the only dose that they're going to be able to get. So a black market will still be there. A black market for heroin will still be there because the government is going to be weaning you off of it. They're only going to be giving you lower and lower doses of heroin. I don't know why we're talking about this, which is crazy.
The withdrawals will be... If you get weaned off of it, it's much easier to remove yourself from the drug.
You can get weaned off of it. That's fine. You get weaned off of it. Then you turn around on the other corner. There's another dude selling heroin, more heroin than the government is giving you, and you never get weaned off of it. And they're like, oh my God, we've been giving you small doses for the past like year and a half, and you haven't gotten off of heroin. I wonder why.
Well,
and
it's because there's still a black market. We are very bogged down in the fact of drug legalization. And
this is not a drug issue.
This is a much bigger issue. Certainly,
I think you were oversimplifying. You are oversimplifying an extremely complex situation.
I think that's not a solution. I think it applies to both of you.
A wall is an oversimplification of everything. Too.
It is not. It solves one specific aspect.
Okay, look.
It solves one specific aspect, and it allows for more robust immigration reform than you guys are talking about. Once we build the wall, we can lower the amount of border security agents that we have, because then we will be able to patrol the entire border, and we can have small.
What if they dig under?
The wall extends under the ground.
Really?
Genius. Yes.
How long?
10 feet.
What if they jump pole vault over it?
That still allows border agents more time than they currently
rock
have.
We have rock climbing.
On that hilarious note, we're done. I think we got really bogged down today
in legalizing heroin.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yes. And I think it's a challenging topic that requires us to confront our deepest held conceptions of morality and drugs of and punitive and reform.
Not morality, heroin. Yeah. Heroin.
Okay,
you were talking about
exactly.
Legalizing heroin
to solve the immigration crisis.
But
here's the thing. So I want to say, I think the statistics are very jumbled. It's very unclear. And I think a lot of it is America is divided on this issue, I think perhaps the most out of any issue. But I want to thank you guys for watching the Middle Ground podcast.
Watching.
Yeah, thank you.
I always say watching.
Because they are watching
okay,
in their hearts.
Yeah, bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.